Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show, put the normal stuff on the front and the back. And let me introduce to you once again our very good friend Russell L. Brown. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's been a business broker and a consultant for many years. He's been directly or indirectly involved in all aspects of buying, selling, and brokering hundreds of operating businesses. He is the president of Business Book Press. He is the author of two outstanding books. One is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which has been recommended by Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And he's also the author of an outstanding book. It's really it's almost a textbook. It's called Preparing Your Business for Sale. And he's also a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and he's our good friend. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me back.
And folks, Russell, to give you an example of what kind of trooper Russell is in Niantic, Connecticut. And Russell, tell our audience what happened between midnight and 6 o'clock this morning.
Well, we went to bed last night with a prediction of some snow, 1 to 3 inches along the shoreline here in Connecticut. And that was about 11:30 last night. And this morning we wake up and we have a foot of heavy, wet snow, which has taken down power lines, trees, and everything else. And if I didn't have a four-wheel drive vehicle, I wouldn't be in my office talking to you.
And you're sitting in the dark.
I'm sitting in the dark.
All the power's off. So, folks, we're talking, when you've heard me say that Russell was a trooper, that Russell really cared about small business, I don't know what else he could do to prove that because... By all rights, you should be home sipping coffee or something. Of course, your power's out at home, too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, power's out at home, so we wouldn't be sipping coffee there. So.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what other areas were hit because I know that a lot of the South had a lot of rain over the weekend, and a few places had flooding and tornadoes and that sort of thing. So it's a pretty big storm that came across the whole country.
That's right, and if you're a small business owner, these are the kinds of things that you can't specifically predict, but they're the kinds of things you have to somehow plan for and have contingencies for.
Well, there's no question about it, and I'm glad you brought that up, Russ, because I do want to talk about that just for a minute. I mean, look at the businesses that have construction to do today. They own a little construction company or something like that, or they have work to do outside. Maybe it's a pest control company or something. Companies in your area that were counting on delivery being made today so they could collect their money and pay their bills. And that's not going to happen probably today, much is it?
Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen.
In your part of the world, especially where the snow is. And yet, you know, the payroll has to be made on Friday, and all the bills have to be paid. And those are the kinds of things that really make it tough on small business owners.
That's right, and that's when we talk to you about contingency planning. You have to have this in the back of your mind. These kinds of things happen. If it isn't snowstorms, it's other violent weather, things can happen. And, of course, there's hundreds of other possible things that you can't ever predict, but one thing you can predict that something will happen
right. That
will upset your apple cart. Mm-hmm. You got to be ready for it.
Well, that's right, and one way to be ready for it, folks, is working capital. Having enough working capital, having some working capital, and one of the ways to have working capital is to pay your business first. And Russ, this is a little bit off of what you and I were planning to talk about today, and we are gonna get into that. But I do think it's appropriate to bring this up. One of the ways you do this is by having the working capital so that, yeah, it's not good when the weather hits like this and your business is disrupted, but at least it's not like it shuts you down. It doesn't put you out of business when something like this happens.
Right, and so you have your backup plans and things that you can do to adjust and account. I mean, if you have a retail business, so perhaps today's a great time to, maybe perhaps by flashlight, but to take that inventory that you haven't done in so long.
Could be a lot of different things. No question about it. Folks, I'd like to know what's going on. Is the weather affecting your business today? I'd like to know a little bit about what's happening there. 888-822-8255. Russ, let's get on into our list of things that we were planning to talk about. The most important questions that you put together for a seller to ask a business broker. And one of the things that I reminded my audience about earlier before you got here, Russ, was that the things that we're talking about here are important questions for a seller to ask a business broker. If they're interviewing a broker and thinking of hiring this broker to help them sell their business, but virtually everything that we talk about have many other applications in the life of a small business owner. So it's not just these things that we're talking about are not just to be used when you're talking to a business broker. But for example, I mentioned that one of the things we're going to talk about today probably is confidentiality. And the concept of confidentiality is something that is found in many, many aspects of operating a business.
That's absolutely right. And some other things, of course, if you're a buyer of a business, I think one of the things that you, or a potential buyer, I think that's what you want to do is to understand the kinds of questions that a business seller would be asking or concerning themselves with about selling the business when they talk to a broker, because that could give you some insights into the nature of running a small business.
Exactly. And what the other person has on their mind, it'll help you in your strategy for when you're buying this business. It's a good thing to know both sides of the table, isn't it?
Absolutely. You want to know as much as you possibly can, certainly about your position, but especially about the other guys as well.
Yeah. And if you also if you know what the seller, if you're in the process of buying a business or you're more likely to be a buyer rather than a seller at this point in time, knowing what the concerns that the seller has, if you can put yourself in a position to be sensitive to and to understand what the seller what the seller's concerns are, it'll help you to be more successful in your acquisition. Russ, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Give us a call, and we'd like to talk to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I want to welcome a new station to the Small Business Advocate Show, or should I say, the Small Business Advocate to this station, KOZQ out of Waynesville, Missouri, AM 1270. All of you folks listening over KOZQ out of Waynesville, I appreciate you doing that, and we'd like to hear from you. 888-822-8255. Our special guest is Russ Brown, and he's the author of Buying or Selling a Business, which is one book. And he actually has two that he's written. One, the other one's called Preparing Your Business for Sale. Russ, tell us where they can get your books.
Well, any good bookstore will have it, especially Borders or Barnes & Noble. If they don't have it, you can ask them to order it. And you can get it at Amazon.com, or more preferably, you can come to my own website at www.businessbookpress.com.
And they can find out probably a little bit about your book when they get there. And
I have table contents and quite a description of the book and so on.
So to decide which book they want, or they might even decide they want two, and if they buy both of them, you offer them a discount, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah, good for you.
Just good business.
Absolutely, absolutely. Russ, let's talk about number six on your list of the most important questions for a seller to ask a business broker, and it's called, the question is, what steps do you take to ensure the confidentiality of my business being for sale? And there are several levels of confidentiality, but this particular question is the confidentiality of my business being for sale. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, it turns out that businesses being sold have to be handled very discreetly, because business owners are very concerned that if their customers hear about it, that perhaps the customers may not have the confidence that the business will remain under that same management for enough length of time for them to continue to doing business with them. They're concerned that their suppliers may get nervous about the good terms of providing materials and other you know, products to them. They're concerned about competitors hearing about it and using that fact to say, well, such and such a store is up for sale, so they must be in trouble, you know,
right,
do business with me instead of them. So there's a lot of reasons that business owners don't want to have it generally known that their business is for sale. We have a sort of a joke in the business broker industry that, you know, business owners come to us and say, you know, we want you to sell our business, but don't tell anybody it's for sale.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get this paradox. We have a real problem here. How do you maintain the confidentiality of the fact that the business is for sale and at the same time, you know, expose it to legitimate prospective business buyers?
There are so many things that are bad that could happen if it's generally widely known that a business is for sale. If you've got somebody who is in their 70s or whatever, they're and they have no heir apparent in the business, and somebody says this business is for sale, well, that's not a big surprise. I mean, that's, most people are probably already assuming that. But if you've got somebody who is still a relatively young owner, and they just want to sell their business, they want to move on, they want to do something else, they want to get out, could be a hundred different reasons why they would want to sell. As you say, the best way for that to happen is for the marketplace to be surprised when the transaction happens.
Exactly. That's what you want to happen. That's ideally, is that for the general marketplace, your general customer, for it to be a surprise that it's happened.
Right.
Now, we're talking in general small businesses. You know, I'm talking about the big, giant corporations,
mm-hmm.
Publicly traded ones. But and so this is difficult, and then you have to walk a tightrope. One of the things that most reputable business brokers will do with any prospective buyer before they expose any significant details about a business for sale to that buyer is they'll require some legally binding documentation from the buyer that says that they agree not to disclose anything that they learn about that business or even the fact that the business is for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some time limits. Some people require a year, some 2 years, and some even up to 3 years. And so there's different confidentiality agreements that exist out there.
Right.
But no matter what you use, you need to, something like that needs to be used.
Absolutely. And you've got to have a confidentiality agreement. And it needs to be short enough so that it doesn't intimidate too many people, but it needs to be longer to make sure that it covers the subject. And we're going to be back to talk about this with some more with Russ. I've got a couple of questions for Russ and a couple of comments I want to make on confidentiality before we move on to another level of confidentiality. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Give us a call. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you, coming up in the next hour, we're going to have two guests this next hour. Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software, and Harold Lacy, the author of How to Finance Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. We're going to have Harold is a former banker. Tim is a business planner extraordinaire and the developer of the world's best business planning software, Business Plan Pro and Business Plan Toolkit. And those two guys are going to be with us in the same hour for the first time. And we're going to be talking about starting a business with a business plan, how to deal with your banker. We're going to let these two guys talk to you a little bit, and I think we're going to have a great discussion. Look forward to that, and I hope you'll plan to join us for that. Right now we're visiting with our good friend Russell Brown, and we're talking about the most important questions for a seller, a business seller, to ask a business broker. And I'll remind you that many of the things we're talking about are things that you can use on a lot of different levels, not just if you're selling a business or if you're closer to buying a business rather than selling a business. These are things you want to know what's on the mind of the person who you're going to be buying the business from. You want to know what they're thinking. You know, Russ, you and I've talked about this. One of the things that you've got to do if you're going to buy a business from someone who owns a business is you need to be able to click a little bit with that person, don't you? At least a little bit, if not a lot. I mean, they need to at least respect your business acumen, even if they don't. I mean, it would be good if they could like you, but even if they don't necessarily get to know you well enough to like you, they at least need to respect your business acumen because it's there's something about that connection, isn't there?
Well, yes. It's buying a small business, and small is defined anything up to about $10 million in sales, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very personal and emotional situation, both on the buying and selling side. You know, once you get past into much bigger businesses, it becomes all money and legal documents,
right?
And the lawyers in their in their suits.
Mm-hmm.
But back at the level we're talking about for our listeners and us, you know, we're small business owners. We're small business buyers. We operate. We have to have a level of trust and understanding, and it goes very more extensive than that in the sense that almost every business that's sold, the business owner holds some kind of financing.
Mm-hmm.
There must be that connection between the buyer and seller, that level of trust that transcends any piece of paper that can be signed.
Well, another thing that happens, Russ, even if they're not planning to take paper, or even if they wind up not taking paper, there is a period of time when the seller needs to believe that the buyer has the ability to come up with the money. And there is a point in time, there's a period that it could be a day or it could be 3 months, when the seller has to be basically have faith and confidence in the purchaser, in the buyer, that they will be able to come up with it. In other words, before this would be a period of time when they continue to talk to you before you actually are required to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak.
That's right, and that's actually a quid pro quo, which helps to guarantee the confidentiality of not only the fact that business is for sale, but we segue right here into protecting the financial information that a buyer is going to want a seller to turn over to them,
right?
So that they can make a properly informed decision as to the value and good business sense of buying that business.
Right.
And so what I recommend is that at the same time that a seller would turn over some of the intimate financial details of his company to the prospective buyer, at that time the buyer turns over intimate financial details about their financial wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of money do they have, or access to capital do they have, that will enable them to be able to buy this business?
Another thing, before we leave this confidentiality thing, because I know, and I appreciate you tying in what is question number 7, essentially, about the financial information, guarding that information. But before we get into that, I have a couple of more things, and that is to make sure that your confidentiality agreement includes the people who are involved in the transaction, not just the person that is buying or the person that's selling, but they're representatives too, right, Russ?
Well, sure, because both the buyer and seller will probably have an accountant and an attorney as a minimum associated
mm-hmm.
with all of this, plus, of course, the business broker or other intermediary.
Well, or there might be an executive. The person who's buying may have a vice president or a manager or something like that who would be involved in the transaction. In other words, if this is a business, one business buying another business, there may be other people involved, or it might be if there's a couple that's buying, make sure the couple, the husband and the wife, sign the agreement.
That's
and
right.
And there's another reason that I want to point out, Russ, that the reason why people would want to make sure that this confidentiality agreement gets signed and you observe this agreement, and that is to make sure that your employees, the seller's employees, are not in jeopardy. In other words, so that you don't have people trying to steal your employees, because a lot of times, as you know, Russ, competitors will smell blood when they hear that your business is for sale, and they'll start picking off your employees.
Yep, they'll pick off your business, your customers, they'll pick off your employees.
Yep, your suppliers, the whole thing. So you have to be very careful about this. 888-822-8255. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to safeguard your financial information when you're selling a business. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I want to remind you about what's coming up the rest of the week, some of the folks we've got coming up the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Jeffrey Gittimer is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about customer loyalty. Jeffrey is an expert in that area. And also, and then in the hour after that, Ken Lebo is going to be with us. Ken is the author of 300 Incredible Things to Do on the Internet. We're going to be talking about where to find some things on the Internet. Also on Wednesday, Pat Weber is going to be with us. She is an expert in salesmanship, and we're going to be talking to her about that. Also, Wednesday is St. Patrick's Day, and I'm working on a program to get some folks, some of our friends from Ireland on the show on Wednesday morning. So hopefully this hour, Wednesday morning, we'll have a St. Patrick's Day show, and we'll kind of enjoy that. So get your green ready. We're gonna try to have a little fun on Wednesday. Right now, we're having fun with our good friend Russ Brown, the author of Buying or Selling a Business, and also the other book called Preparing Your Business for Sale. Both of these books are available on his website. They're available at bookstores. They're also available online at the online booksellers. But give your website out again, Russ, in case they want to check it out.
Yeah, it's www.businessbookpress.com. And just let me get you the right title on that first book I've got, because if you go to a bookstore and ask for it, and they need to order it, you got to have the exact title.
Good.
And it's Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. So if you just start off with the word strategies for successfully, that's how they search, and they'll find that book in their database, and they'll be able to order it from one of the large distributors.
Or if you forget the name, just remember Russell Brown.
That's right.
Russell L. Brown, by author. They'll find it by author, won't they?
Yes, they will.
Or if you just remember my name or my website, then you can find Russ. He's all over my website, and especially in the Brain Trust section. There's a little bio on him in there, as well as links to his site and email and everything. So, or if you just want to email me and say, hey, how do I get in touch with Russ? I'll be sure that you do that. The conversation that we're having today, folks, with Russell is about confidentiality, how to protect your information, how to protect all your information. You know, Russ, when you're selling a business, you just basically lay everything bare. Once you get to the point where you found a qualified purchaser, you basically have to lay everything out on the table, don't you?
Yes, you do, and that's really disconcerting to a lot of business owners.
In fact, a lot of businesses don't sell because the seller, at least for the first time or two before they really get internalize this, they really realize what's happening, what they are going to have to do, they actually stop the process because of that many times, don't they?
Yeah, because it's really traumatic. I mean, this is your business, and it's very highly private. You've kept all this very sensitive information close to the vest for many, many years, and in most cases. And to turn this over and bare your soul on the good and the bad and expose all this to potential buyers is highly traumatic. And also, as people well understand, most small businesses are run in such a way as to minimize their exposure to the tax man.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of business sellers are a little nervous about that. They may,
yep,
they may be skirting the edges of black and white. They may be in some gray areas there.
One of the areas that might happen is you might have a little more inventory than you thought you had. And you know, there are a lot of different ways, aren't there? I mean, there are a lot of different things, Russ, that could come up, and this is one of the reasons why I like your book, Preparing Your Business for Sale, because it helps you get the company into a position where when it is time to sell, you are acclimated to it, you've internalized all the touchy issues, and you've got everything done so that whenever you actually do find a seller, I mean a buyer, that the deal sails through quickly.
That's right. In preparing your business for sale, I teach business owners some facts that doesn't occur to them. They don't really think this through, and I guess I can understand it, but they don't understand that if for every dollar you can add to the bottom line of your business that you can prove, you can get anywhere from 4 to 6 or even more times that,
right,
in the sale of your business. That's super money. That's huge. Think about that.
Yeah.
If you could do this, even with this tremendously bull market we've got exploding right now, a dollar invested to get back $5 for every dollar, $5,000 for every thousand, you know, $50,000 for every 10,000. Think about what you can do. And business owners don't understand that they have super money tied up in their business that isn't apparent and not accessible unless they properly prepare that business for sale.
And you don't
want
to.
That's what my business, that's what my book does for them.
And folks, I really like I agree with the way Russ characterized his book when he said he teaches small business owners how to do this. That's what this book does. And you heard me call it a textbook. Now, it looks like a textbook. It's actually bound like a textbook, but it's in layman's terms, folks. It's not such a highly technical book that you can't understand it, but there is some technical information in there, and I really agree with you, Russ, when you say those words, when you say that you teach small business owners how to do that, because I know that you do. One of the things you can't do, folks, is you can't operate where you pay, you maximize the your tax sheltering in your business. You can't do that this year and then next year sell your business and maximize the value of the business. You can't do that in a 12-month period. You have to plan for it. Stay with us. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Russell Brown, and we'll wrap up the hour. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Russell Brown. Russell is the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which received Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine recommendation, and his other book, which is called Preparing Your Business for Sale, both of them by Russell L. Brown. I recommend them to you. Also, if you go to his website, you can find out about the various reports that he's produced, and one of them is report number 103, the 15 most important questions for a seller to ask a business broker. Russell, give us your website one more time.
www.businessbookpress.com.
Russ, okay, here's the deal. We got this small business owner, and he's owned this business for 15 or 20 years, and every year, I'm not going to say he's been doing tax evasion, but he's been doing tax avoidance. You know, and tax avoidance is legal. Everybody, in fact, the IRS, you know, they can't do anything about tax avoidance. And so for 15 years, he's been reporting, you know, $15,000 a year on the bottom line and or maybe even less or whatever, and being really proud of himself because he's been doing this. And then he says, you know, I think I'm going to retire. I want to sell my business. And then he talks to you as a business broker, and you say, well, what do you think your business is worth? And he says, oh, about $15, $20
million.
and you look at his financial statements, and you can't make it happen because he hasn't been preparing his business for sale, has he?
That's right. And it's perfectly, like you say, perfectly legitimate for tax avoidance schemes. There's many, many, many ways to do it, and depending on the type of business, there's different ways. Just depending on the type. But what you need to do, because buyers are legitimately skeptical of the ability of that company to generate the cash necessary to pay for the business, to give them an income and pay them a salary if they're going to be working in it, and so on. There has to be enough money flowing through that company. It doesn't have to be on the IRS reported bottom line, but the money has to be there. You have to be able to show it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult to do. You know, one good example of a tax avoidance situation is typically that a lot of companies I deal with, there's some association, national association, that they're a part of, and every year there's a convention held somewhere in some wonderful place like Miami or Las Vegas or even somewhere down in perhaps Birmingham. And these conventions are such that they talk about the business, the industry, and the business owner decides that'll be their vacation for the year. Well, the spouse may be a corporate officer of the corporation, and so all of the costs, the travel costs, the hotel costs, most of the meals, because you may entertain clients and things that way, you're at the convention, many of them are all tax deductible. And so these trips can add up to thousands of dollars and all legitimately deductible from your bottom line. So you don't have to pay tax on it. Now, you did have to lay the money out, but if you're in a 30 to 40% tax bracket, you just got yourself a beautiful vacation
for 60 cents on the dollar.
Discount.
Yeah.
But when you go to reconstruct and go to try to show the value in your business, you're going to want to say to the potential buyer, look, you know, I worked my way up to this. You know, this is not something you need to do. This
right.
is a fun thing to do, not necessary.
There are a whole lot of other, and Russ, pardon me, I'm going to have to stop you because we're at the end of the hour. There are a lot of other things like that you can recast your financial statement. Russ, we're going to have to talk about the rest of this next time you're with us.
Okay, great, Jim.
Thanks. As always, you did a great job, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, and good luck to all your listeners.
Okay, thanks, Russ. I'll see you later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.